All right. I thoroughly believe, and I've been believing this for a long time, that the Christians are being beat up by the devil. I know that. As a pastor, I know that. And the reason is because they don't understand the authority of the believer. I said that back a few months ago. And I want to do a couple days on this because the Lord has placed this heavily in my heart. We're in a wonderful time of blessing in Grace Point Ministries. A summer of blessing, 100 days. And we're getting reports all over the place. Had a report this morning that God just did some wonderful work in a person's, and they said, I just can't stand it. It's so good. And I know what they were saying. They were saying, hey, it's great. And they needed tires in their car. Somehow tires have been really the emphasis the last couple days. People getting tires, saving money. And this particular person had a tire that was bulging, so they went down to a certain shop. I don't know where. That's not important to me. And they went in, and the tire they needed was on sale. Buckle your belt. Buy one, get one free. The very tire in their car. So they bought one because they had a bad one, and they replaced the other one that was going bad. Buy one, get one free, and that just blessed me. Every time you tell me you're blessed, it just blesses me to know that you're blessed. But I know this. I know the enemy is going to try to stop the blessing. He already has in certain areas, but he's not going to win. Now, I want to share with you something today that I believe is important. And I really do. And I'm going to give you some scripture. And we're going to talk about this. I mean, what's the attitude that we should have today? A lot of Christians just are cowardly. I just say it the way it is. We cower down to the forces of darkness. They actually submit to satanic opposition. You can hear him talk. Well, you know, the devil did this, and I wasn't able to do that, and I just can't do this, and I don't do that. That's the type of thing. Now, we should arise in the name of Jesus and take our place, and that's the problem. Taking our spiritual legal position. There's your problem. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14 has some marvelous insight into taking the spiritual position. Here's what it says, verse 12. Give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, M-E-T, or fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That means basically he's given us the ability to enjoy the part of our inheritance. See, that blessing that we're talking about is inheritance. God has inherited us to be blessed, to be blessed. 13, who has delivered, that's past tense, us from the power of darkness and has translated, again, past tense, us into the kingdom of his dear son. 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, in verse 13, I'm going to read that again. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of our dear son. See, the word power actually means authority. That's what Christ did. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness, the authority of demons, and the authority of Satan's kingdom. But the problem is, I'm speaking from a pastor's heart, okay? Understand me. We don't act like it. We don't act like it. There's a translation that I've been reading lately that I've never looked at before, but the last week or so I've been reading it. It's from Conybeare, Conybeare translation. Ever heard of that translation of the Bible? This guy was a scholar. He was an absolute theologian. And there's tremendous amount of work done by him that most people don't even pay attention to. But in his translation of that passage, he says this: He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, has transplanted us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption and forgiveness of our sins. I like that. For those who want to look it up, it's Coney, C-O-N-Y, Bear, B-E-A-R-E. Now, within us we have the ability of God and wisdom of God. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom will I be afraid?" You see, can't you sense Paul? I'm going to give you another passage here. Talking to the Romans and saying to them that we're more than conquerors, regardless of the circumstances of the attacks against us. That's the authority of the believer. And Paul understood that. And that teaching needs to get out in the body of Christ. And they won't get beat up all the time by little demons and devils. And they don't, "I don't know what to do with this." Huh? Right? That's the type of teaching you need to hear. That's the type of teaching you need to hear. Listen to this. Romans 8:31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" That's questions, right? 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things?" Again, that's three questions. 33. "Who shall lay these things to the charge of God's elect?" Next question. "Is it God that justifies?" 34. "Who is he that overcometh?" Notice all the questions. "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, even who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us." Look at the questions here. Now, here's another set of questions, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword?" More questions. Okay? 36. "As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter." Now, here's the part of this that really makes me jump up and down. 37, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." 38, "For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come." Oh, I love that. 39, love this too. "Nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall able to separate us from the love of God which is Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, Paul said nothing in the earth or below the earth, principality or power, could separate us from the love of God in Christ. So, here's where the rubber, since we're talking about tires, the tire meets the ground. Who is in Christ? That's the question. The authority for the believer. See, who is in Christ? The authority for the believer. God loved us so much through Christ, he gave his authority and rule and reign over all the powers of the enemy. But we don't think that. Christians don't think that. "Well, I guess we'll just have to bear up under this." What? "Well, you know, the devil's been..." What? How many times I've heard some saint of God get up there and not know authority and said, well, the devil's been on my trail all week long. Sister Lintcatcher, get that devil off of you. Why are we glorifying that? Well, we don't know what to do. What are you talking about? That's why I'm teaching you. Because we're not reigning and ruling. Ah, there's your problem, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, think those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. See, if you're born again, risen with Christ, you're risen with him, you have been spiritually made alive. You once were dead, spiritually speaking, but God has quickened you so you're alive. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. And you has he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Again, this is talking about being spiritually dead and then being made alive unto God. Verse 2. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, but that's not you. 3. Among also, we've had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and our nature, of children of wrath, even as others. Here's the part that I just jump up and down. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, has great love wherein he's loved us. Even when we're dead in sins, has quickened us together. By grace you're saved. Now, here is some absolute important words. And raise us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See, when you understand where you are and your spiritual position is seated at the right hand of the Lord, what he's doing is, he's saying, the message will deliver from bondage. So you don't have to worry about all that stuff. See, you don't have to worry about all this teaching. You simply say, hey, I'm delivered. I'm delivered from sin. And see, what was Jesus' job description? He had one. Luke chapter 4 tells us. And I want you to see this. Verse 16 through 19. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. All right? 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Elias's. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it's written. Look at this. Here is Jesus' job description. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. And 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is Jesus' job description. That's what he does. That's what Jesus does. People don't believe, Christians don't believe that. Oh, no, he doesn't do that anymore. That's not for today. Oh, no. Now, in verse 19, all right, he says, preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? What is it? I want to tell you here in a few minutes. But I want you to back up just a moment to 18. Preach deliverance to the captives. Now, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say pray deliverance to the captives. Now, we're not saying prayer is not good or minimizing that. No, no. We just put the wrong emphasis on some things. The word tells you to preach deliverance, not pray deliverance. Ah, what a difference that is. Remember I told you? And it's wrapped up in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 that we are very good at praying spiritually. We do well. We do. I mean, we can pray the house down. You know what I'm saying? You're praying for Sister Linkcatcher? And she's under demonic attack, and you pray, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. It doesn't say that. It says preach deliverance. See the difference? See the difference? See, here's why. Here's why. Jesus has already delivered mankind from Satan's powers, has he not? Uh-huh. On the cross. Uh-huh. On the cross. But what happens is that we're not preaching the good news of deliverance. We're praying against it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Listen, when's the last time you heard anyone get up, teach, or preach against the forces of hell? Huh? We pray. We don't preach. And we don't tell the folks about that. When we encounter people that are under demonic attack, the first thing we do is what? Pray. I'm not saying that's wrong. But know what happens? See, you have to speak deliverance into the people that are under satanic operation. Those that are having oppression, depression, oppression. I did a whole series about that. You can listen to it. It's in the archive. But we don't preach it. We don't stand there and say, thus saith the Lord. Because we do not understand. I hate to keep saying it, but it's true. Spiritual authority. We don't. And we don't allow, hear me, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit involving himself in that deliverance. We don't do that. Well, we'll just upset somebody. Well, good. Well, good. We don't allow the power of the Holy Spirit to change people. We don't. See, when you look at the believer's authority, and the fullness of the revelation of the believer's authority, things begin to change. Things begin to be different. There's changes going on. Why? Because we're always triumphant. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, now thanks be unto God which always, was the word always, causes us to be triumphant in Christ and making manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. The Holy Spirit is telling us through Paul that we have victory over satanic forces because Jesus triumphed over all the powers of the enemy, and that triumphancy is ours. Let me go one more time. 2 Corinthians 2:4 from that Coney Bear, C-O-N-Y-B-E-A-R-E translation. Listen to this, 14. But thanks be to God who leads us. Look at this, just amazing. But thanks be to God who leads me on from place to place in the train of his strength. Oh, I like that. To celebrate his victory over the enemies. What are the enemies? Demons, spirits, not people. That's another thing. You don't. It's about the will. You don't have any authority over someone's will. You just don't. You just don't. People do things because they want to do them. People cuss and smoke and carry on and drink and take drugs because they want to do them. You do not have authority over the person's will. They are a free moral agent. But you can operate in authority over your family if you know how. Now, look at this again. But thanks be to God who leads me on from place to place in the train of his triumphants to celebrate his victory over the enemies. And by me, Paul speaking, sends forth the knowledge of him, a stream of fragrant incense throughout the world. For Christ is the fragrance which I offer up to God. See, in the Word Spirit Power conferences, I'll say this next verse, and people just get so mad at me. Good night. I think one time I heard a gravel truck pulling up. You know these gravel rock haulers? I think one pulled up in front of the church, and it was loaded with rocks, and they're getting ready to throw them. Because I asked the question, why did Jesus come? What did he come? They're all going to say, I know they do. Well, he came to save us. Okay. That's not the reason. Okay, I hear the trucks. There's one coming in the backyard. What? That's heresy. Hold on. You ever read 1 John chapter 3, verse 8? You ever read that? You better. Why did Jesus come? It says that Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. We're talking about Jesus' place on the earth. And he's the head and we're the body. And we're acting for him. He's the destroyer of the adversary, and we should follow in his steps. Why did Jesus come? 1 John 3:8. Manifest that he was made manifest, he destroyed the works of the devil. On that cross, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. And while destroying the works of the devil, what's a work of the devil? What's a work of the devil? You know. The work of the devil is to send us to hell. That's his works. That's what he's wanting to do. Rebel against God, send people in general to hell. So when Jesus made manifested on the cross salvation, what did he do? He overcame the devil, destroyed his works, buying our salvation. It's the salvation is the result of Jesus overcoming the works of the devil. That's why. Understand? And when you understand that you enter into the fullness of God's plan, redemption. And when you fully embrace the good news of the gospel, the believers become masters in Jesus' name over satanic forces. That's why the enemy beats the church up. Listen to Grace One Radio.
So many people trying to fill a void inside. So many questions. Asking how, asking why. I might not have all the answers, but I've tasted and I've seen. There's a better path for Jesus. There's no going back for me. I'm gonna live the way he says to live. Do what he says to do. You can choose whatever road you choose. But I'm gonna love the way he says to love. Trust the way he says to trust. This world alone will never be enough. So I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk.
I like that song. Number 12. Should be number 1. I'm going to walk with Jesus, consumed by fire. I'm going to trust. When you hear the song, I'm going to trust. I'm going to believe. I'm going to walk with Jesus. Don't allow the enemy. I'm driving it home. I'm trying to help you. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of the blessings God has for you. You understand that? Don't allow the enemy, say that again. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of, I'm writing this down, the blessings God has for you. Hear the pencil? That's going to go in my journal. That's right from God. Don't allow the enemy Don't allow the devil. Don't allow the devil to talk you out of the blessing God has for you. Well, I don't know. You know now. Nobody that I know about, if a person came up and blessed you in some category, that you would say, oh no, I'm just too humble for that. So next time you go to the store and they have these buy one, get one things, don't take the second one because we want to keep you humble. Like the listener today said that buy one, get one free of his automobile tires. Tire was, if you're listening, the tire had a bubble on it. It was dangerous. He took it to the shop. The shop said, oh, we have this exact tire in stock. And by the way, buy one, get one free. So he gets two for the price of one. How about the other church person that had a flat tire? Went in front of the, actually, in the tire shop, right there in the tire shop. She walked in, asked for the tires. They didn't have any. So she goes to Walmart. Someone takes her to Walmart. They have two tires that she needed. She had a double blowout. Bought the tires, took them back. And saved $170 for the two tires in savings sitting in the parking lot of a business that sells tires. Hello? And is she going to say, no, I'm too humble for that? No, no, I'm just not worthy of that. Don't allow the devil to talk you out of the blessings of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let me squeeze in another song right here. Here's number 13. Honestly, we need Jesus to reign, don't we? Yeah.
Got a front row seat to the madness. I pick up my phone every morning out of habit. I've been fiending for the drama, yeah, I said it. I'm addicted to the rush, need a medic. When I take a step back, I can see it. All the pain, all the fear we've been feeling. Losing sight of the thing that we're needing. That we're needing. Honestly, just need Jesus. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Have we all gone mad? Have we lost our minds? What used to be wrong, we say that is right. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Take a good long look in the mirror. Search my heart and it clearer. Help me take your love, trade the bitter, leave it in the dust. Help me leave it in the dust, Lord. We've been preaching, we've been drinking in the vanity. Now it's got us questioning our sanity, and we wonder how we get all this anxiety. It's clear to me. I think
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Wow, what wonderful music here. Number 13, Honestly, We Just Need Jesus. Turan. Praise God. Don't allow the devil to talk you out of the blessing God has for you. Don't do it. Don't allow it. You have authority over the enemy. And stop this nonsense that you're not worthy. It's nonsense. It's biblically incorrect. Why? Because you're seated together in Christ in heavenly places in a spiritual position. So God says, I'm going to bless you. No, I'm unworthy. And you're sitting in heavenly position. Don't listen to that. Don't. You don't want to miss God's blessing for you, do you? Thank you so much for listening to today's Freedom Program. My prayer is something we said here today, something we played here today, something we prayed here today, ministered in your life today. Jamie Hernandez with Let's Talk Jesus is 1 minute and 46 seconds away from right now on Grace Born Radio. Encore presentation of this program tonight is at 8:45 Eastern. You need to listen in. Tell somebody about what you heard that they can be blessed as well. Tomorrow morning at 10:55, Carl Richardson will be back on with his award-winning Oasis program. He's in heaven, but his voice still speaks. And at 11 o'clock Eastern, Lord willing, I'll be back on for another edition of Freedom right here on Grace Point Radio. We're here to minister to you because that's our mission. So on behalf of all of us right here at Grace Point Radio, the Freedom Program, and Grace Point Ministries, I'm Pastor Ron Zimmer, Pastor Grace Point Ministries, Orange County, California, Sebring, Florida, Manchester, Sutton, and Warner, New Hampshire, in cooperation with Pastor Gloria, who's listening today in Pakistan. Blessings to you, Pastor Gloria, into the United Arab Emirates with Pastor Samuel, into South Africa with Pastor